70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have Proverbs and you're looking at chapter number 18 or the division of Proverbs number 18, and you look at verse number 10 and then hold your finger there and we'll go to verse 24 for sake of time. But I do want to mention, as I said, that these verses will scream at you and they'll say, preach me. And so who knows what will be in the song or in the proverb. Amen. So y'all pray for me. Amen. I see it's 10:44 and I do understand time. And so you don't need to be worried about food. We have some for you. All right. So you ain't got to watch and see whether they done dropped the chicken yet or not. All right. We'll have some chicken for you or something. Amen. No hurry. Right. No football game on. Amen. Most of y'all got fire sticks anyway, so you can watch whatever movie you want to anytime you get ready. All right, let me get into the word here. Amen. All right. Verse number 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous," that's you, "runneth into it and is safe." I like that. Verse 24. "A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Amen. 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 We'll going to continue here until the Lord say. Proverbs is where we've been since the beginning of the year, and hopefully through this we have become a little more wiser. Hopefully through this we have seen for ourselves, amen, what we ought to be doing versus what we have been doing. Anybody other than me had to correct some things. Amen, has helped me to be mindful of some things that I myself have forgotten. Amen. Amen. And so don't think that you're so good that you don't forget some things that you should be doing and that you don't do some things that you should be doing. Amen. We all have some faults and frailties and some things that we may get into that may not be what God wants us to be into. But then when we know how to make adjustments and get it back right. Amen. Amen. So when we start to look at this Psalm number 18, the series that we've been in has been Wisdom for Living. But I want to just entitle this, and I don't know why, I'm just going to entitle this just for traditional sake of giving a title, but A Friend with a Good Name. Amen, because we read those two verses. We know our friend is Jesus, and we know his name is Jesus. Amen. And we'll see how we get to that, but we're just going to follow and flow with the Spirit of God on today. Amen. Is it all right? The Psalm number 18, proverb number 18, this particular proverb is what you would call a autopsy of a wicked man. But it will also be the blessed life of a good man, because it tells us how a wicked man, just like you know how you do autopsy, you go through and you figure out what it was that actually killed that person, what their major organs look like, and what went wrong inside of their body. Well, when you look at this proverb, you see everything that if you do those things that the wicked does, or you do those things opposite that is in contrast with the righteous, then you'll know why some things didn't work out in your life. Y'all still with me here? All right, let me just jump in because I don't want to prolong the time. It says, through desire, verse 1, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Now, this doesn't, you know, this right here is not clear for some theologians because there's arguments on what it actually means. But when you read it, it jumps out at me that this means one. This to me, it means this. It means that when we have a desire to do something, when we have a strong desire to achieve something, it causes us to separate ourselves. That's nothing different than what God has already said. He said, "Be ye what holy, for I am what." He said, "I have sanctified you." And what that word sanctified means is that He has set you apart. That's why you're different. That's why sometimes people don't understand you. They can't, you know, the Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a what? Holy nation and a what? Peculiar people. So many times we have walked in being predictable rather than being peculiar. A lot of times people know exactly how you're going to act before they tell you something because they know, oh, I know she's going to cut up. She's going to act a fool. You're so predictable, but the Bible says for us to be what? Peculiar. It tells us that we ought to be separate, be holy, because God is holy. So he said anybody that has a desire to achieve must separate himself. You know, they always say you got to separate the men from the boys. Now, come on and say amen. Y'all with me? And so you got to separate yourself. And then he says intermeddle it. That means that he finds himself engaged in wisdom. He's seeking for wisdom and he begins to walk in wisdom instead of just walking in the way that everybody else is. Amen. And so if I desire to be a good student, I can't be like everybody else and play the game all night. I got to study. Y'all still with me? He walks the hall alone. Oh my goodness! They said that Michael Jordan, that we deem him arguably with some of the young people they think is LeBron James, but Michael Jordan was the greatest name in basketball. He was the greatest player. He said, "Amen." We got some Michael Jordan fans in here. So he it said that he got cut off of his high school basketball team when he was a freshman. But Michael Jordan, you would find him shooting more jump shots, and you would find him in the gym more than anybody else. And most of the time, they said that he was in there by himself, working on himself. And then Michael Jordan came out of high school, played at University of North Carolina, went in the draft, made more money, still making money off a pair of tennis shoes that he made famous because of one slam dunk that he did. Isn't that something? So it lets you know that we must, at some point, if you intend to be great, you have to separate yourself and follow after wisdom and not follow after the crowd. Y'all with me here? It's going to get a little better. Y'all can say amen. He says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but hath his heart, that his heart may discover it. In other words, it goes from talking about being separate in contrast to the fool, who is selfish. We can't afford to be selfish. All through the Bible, Jesus gives us examples in the New Testament of himself that we cannot afford to be selfish, but we have to be what? Selfless. Amen. That's why he tells us if we're going to come after him, we have to take up our cross and deny our what? Self. Amen. And so he said that the fool had no delight in understanding. In other words, fool don't want to hear. They don't want to understand what's right, but they just want to do whatever it is in their heart to do. And you got some people like that. I don't care how much you tell them right from wrong, they're going to do whatever it is in their heart to do. It doesn't matter if it's shameful. It doesn't matter if it's wrong. It doesn't matter if it's selfish. They still will do it because they don't want to understand that it's wrong. That's why nowadays you got so many people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want you to tell them what the words say. Oh, you trying to judge me? No, I'm just telling you what the words say. You be the one that receive it or reject it, but I have a duty to tell you what the words say, because they don't want to hear the word, because they don't want to understand better. Because when you understand better, it calls for you to do better. And if I can just stay ignorant of it, don't tell me about it, then I won't have to worry about it. I can do what I want to do. Y'all still with me here? It's like when you come as the light, it's like turning the light switch on in somebody's face and they've been asleep about 12 hours. They get mad with you because you turned the light on. All right, let me go. Verse 3 says, the wicked cometh, and then come also contempt. I like this one. And with ignominy, reproach. I like this because it's simply saying, when the wicked come, here come the mess. I'll just check and see if y'all still with me. That's what it is. When the wicked come, there comes mess. Hey, man, you know how sometimes you just say, I don't want to be in that group with them because I know they full of mess. They're going to keep up mess. They're going to gossip. They're going to talk about. They're going to backbite. They're going to backstab. I just know that's their M.O. That's what their main objective is to keep up mess. And so he says that when the wicked comes, they come with some mess. Oh, y'all still with me? Let me try to go faster then, try to get out of there. Verse 4 through 8 talks about words. Talk about how important it is to watch your mouth. Tell somebody to watch your mouth. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, and a well of wisdom is as a flowing brook. Now, the contrast here is letting us know that people, they can talk, and they can give you good wisdom with their words, or they can give you something else. He says it's like a deep well. Now, a deep well, when you draw water from it, then you take a chance on, when you draw water from the deep well, you take a chance on when you drink it, that it may have some bacteria in it because it's been sitting up a while. And while it is refreshing when you first drink it, it may make you sick later on. So you have people who say stuff that sound good, and you say, man, all this stuff sound pretty good, but it could make you sick later because of what's inside of what they said. Y'all still with me here? But then he contrasts that. He says it's like wisdom is like a flowing brook. Now, if you take water that's running, that's flowing, chances are it's been filtered by something. It's run through sand and water. Rocks and dirt. The water runs through it, and so it's been filtered. So if you get running water, like we used to do out in Coosatchie, by chance you might get a good batch of water, and you can keep drinking from it, and it'll never make you sick, but it'll bring refreshment to you. And so what he's saying is that if your soul is weary and you need a drink, don't just get it from any old well. Get it from a flowing brook of water. Jesus walks up to the woman at the well and says to her, give me something to drink. And she said, who are you? And she began to talk, you're a Jew talking to me. And then she tells Jesus tells her, if you would have asked me, I would have gave you something to drink. And she said, how could you give me something? You don't have nothing to draw with. And Jesus said, if you drink this water, it's flowing from me. Amen. We got to understand, from our bellies shall flow rivers of living water, water that gives life. And so that's what Jesus was offering to her. So I got a question. Are you a deep well, or are you a flowing brook? When I open my mouth, it just flows. Oh, my God. Okay. Verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. In other words, simply saying, don't just agree with people just because they say something. Don't just agree with the wicked against the righteous. You know, it's better for you to just remain neutral. All right, verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. I know some of y'all think that means when a fool open his mouth and get to talking crazy. I know some of you think that means that you need to put something in his mouth, you know. Fred Sammons said, four sisters on Thumb Street, you know. But that's not actually what it means. It sounds good, and it will satisfy us in our flesh. But what it means is that when a fool open his mouth in contention, when he try to say something that's insulting, he says that the mouth called for judgment. That's what he said. Judgment will come because of what he said. Remember what Jesus said, what goes in a man does not what defile him, but what comes out of his mouth defiles him. And so judgment comes based on what you said. I wish I had somebody here. And so it is important to watch what we say. Vain and repetitious prayers are no good even when we do that. So we need to watch how we pray and watch what we what say. Amen? Y'all still with me? So he talks about words. He talks about how a fool's mouth is destruction and his lips are a snare to his soul. You know, you talk yourself into a problem. You know how they say that your mouth write a check that you're behind? Can't cash. Y'all still with me? Y'all mighty quiet today. Y'all, you gonna make me work, huh? You know the saying, your mouth write that check, your behind can't cash. That's what he's saying here. And that's all it is a proverb. Amen. He tells us in verse 8, the words of the talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly when somebody lie on you. Y'all with me here? He says it goes down into the belly. In other words, you'll never forget it. When somebody tell that lie, when you see them, the first thing come to the front of your mind is how they lied on you. Y'all still with me in here? When somebody make up something, when somebody is a talebearer, when they begin to tell tales and they are a liar, when you see them, you say, there go that liar. When they're asking you for something, talking to you about something, you're saying in the back of your mind, I don't know if I ought to believe this rascal or not. Y'all still with it? It worries the mind. The belly here means the mind. It bothers. It gets deep down in the mind. And you can't shake it. I don't care what you say, I'm going to try to give them a chance. But still, you're thinking in the back of your mind, they lying. While they talking, it's just like the word L-I-A-R comes out their mouth. It's just like it appears out of nowhere while they're talking. You know what I'm saying. You see them and here they come. You say, oh, they finna tell me, I ain't got time for this. I got to go. You start looking at your watch as soon as they come. Some of y'all pick up your phone and act like somebody called you. Ain't nobody on the other line. Yeah, uh-huh. You know how it is. We're gonna get back. I'm going to get with you, okay? Hold on a second. Yeah. Hey, just give me a holler. And then you get back and you walk out and you say, boy, I ain't want to fool with them. Because you knew they wasn't telling the truth. Anybody know any people like that? Anybody ever done that? I ain't never picked up the phone, but I did act like I had to go somewhere. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have text people and say, hey, come rescue me. Because they just go on and on and it just lies. Come rescue me from this. Because they won't stop talking. They right here, I done turned my back, and I'm headed this way, and I'm saying, yeah, uh-huh. And I'm letting them know I'm trying to go this way. If you're going to whatever way you're going, I'm going the opposite. Amen. Y'all still with me here? It's all right to laugh about that because it's true. And that's, you know, you find humor in what's truth. Amen. Amen. And so, let's go on a little further here. He says, and he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. In other words, they both ain't neither one of them gotten that. If you slothful, you mean you ain't working. And if you working and you making money and you wasting it, you ain't got nothing either. So they brothers, they kin, they hang out together. All right, let me go on here. Verse 10, here's one of the verses. Here's the verse. That was read earlier. The name of the Lord. Let's preach this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and is safe. Notice the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible says that a good name, this proverb says this, a good name is better than a precious ointment. If we have a good name, it's better than any medicine that you can take. Oh, hallelujah. Whenever you get that headache, whenever you get that backache, that body ache, whenever you have that sickness, if you're able to call on the name of the Lord, it is better than the medicine that you're taking. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. The name of the Lord, and the word name there, when you see the name in the Bible, when you see a name, it actually means a character. The character of the Lord. In other words, his reputation. Oh, my God. His reputation is like a strong tower. When you know who he is, that it is his reputation that he'll never fail you. It's his reputation to let you know that he, you know, let me tell you how the Hebrew writers said it. The Hebrew writers, whenever they would write in the Hebrew language, it is a very descriptive language. The Greek is definitive, but the Hebrew is descriptive. And what that means is that the Hebrew writer describes what God is to him. When Abraham found the ram on top of the mountain when he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, he called the place Jehovah Jireh, right? What does that mean? The Lord, my provider. So he described what God was to him. And see, we got to get an understanding of what, you know, who God is. Because when Moses went, he said, who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell him I am that I am. And we get the word, what we call in the Greek, is it comes from the Greek derivative, where we get the word Jehovah. Right? But the tetragrammaton is the letters YHVH. Yahweh or YHWH, amen? And so we have to understand that is the name, and in that name there is salvation. In that name there is healing. In that name there is power, wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. I wish I had somebody. There's deliverance in the name. The Bible tells us in Psalm number 23, y'all still with me here, he said that he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Anybody know about this name? He also tells us that at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, whether you do it now, whether the Muslim do it now, or whether the whoever it is do it now, or the atheist say it now, they will confess his name one of these days, that he is Lord of all. Somebody say amen. So the name of the Lord, he said, is a strong tower. In other words, it's like the tower. It's like Rapunzel's tower. You remember Rapunzel? Y'all remember that fairy tale? Rapunzel, let down your hair. They couldn't get to the tower, so she had to grow her hair long enough for them to get up there. Amen. They couldn't get to her because the tower was too high. And so what we got to understand here is that the name of the Lord is just like that tower. The tower is so strong and the tower is so high that no enemy can get to you because you're in the name. I wish I had somebody. You're in the name. It's like a strong tower. He said, the righteous run into it. And so we got to go into the name. Well, how do you go into the name? The name, when you go into the name, that means you wear the name, just like you. If you're a woman, you get married, you wear that man's name, right? And so they know you by that name. Come on and say hallelujah. And people have to ask you, what was your maiden name? Because you've been wearing that name. And since you wear the name, you have certain privileges that other folks don't have. You got the privilege of that bank account. You got the privilege of that bedroom chamber. Y'all don't hear me. You got the privileges that nobody else has. And so because we wear the name, because we are Christ, we are Christ-like, we wear the name, then we have certain privileges. I can go boldly to the throne of grace and I can receive the mercies of God because of the name. Y'all ain't with me here. I have privileges. I don't have to stay sick because I'm married to a healer. See, you know, I don't have to get a prescription because he's prescribed his word, his gospels, so I don't need to get pills. I got the gospels so that I can be healed of my infirmity. Oh, yeah, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Come on, let us bless his name. Oh, yeah. He load us up with benefits. He heals all our diseases. And now, a disease is not just something that they have labeled or some disease like heart disease or kidney disease. It's anything that diseases you, that takes you from being in ease, takes you from being at peace, takes you from the rest that God has given you. Y'all still with me? Y'all gonna make me labor real hard today. So the name of the Lord, it's important to know the name. And see, that's why people fight over the name. Now, if we just didn't mention the name, they will accept us. They'll be glad, and the world will be so glad because we didn't give our God a name. We just a high power. You know, the man upstairs, they're good with you saying that. If you say, oh, the good Lord upstairs, the man upstairs, or they, you know, give them a name. If you say Jesus, it's like you done slapped them in the face. They get mad. They don't want you to mention his name. Now, we can get along until you mention that name. Well, let me tell you something. I got a friend by the name of Jesus. And look, I'm loyal to my friend. You know, and let me tell you something. If you got people that are enemies to your friend Jesus, if you got people that are enemies, if they're loyal to some other thing, if they're loyal to some enemy of Jesus, then you can't be loyal to them. because it creates a conflict of interest in your loyalty to your friend. How many of us had friends in this world, fleshly friends, that we have been friends with forever, and then they have a problem with somebody else, and then whoever it is they have a problem with get mad at you just because you're their friend? I had a friend. I used to work at the paper mill. I had a friend. He's a pastor, too. And we worked different shifts. He used to go in and he would aggravate people because, you know, he was one of them that was real smart. And he was going to throw the scriptures on you. And when you try to find your way out, it was like he would use the scriptures and he would just beat people over the head with them. Now, I ain't saying that's right, but I'm saying that's what he would do. And I would come in on the next shift. And when I get there, they mad with me. Only because we were friends and because they felt like I was going to take his side because I had a loyalty to him. You know, and we ought to have that same loyalty when it comes to us as Christians, because we let people go and talk about other Christians. You know, Lord have mercy. We let them, if they get mad with one Christian, they'll find another Christian. They don't go to church, but they're going to find another Christian to try to plead their case to, so that you'll say something about that Christian, and then they go back and say, yeah, I was talking to somebody else, and they say that they ain't right about that, that they go to a funny church, they go to a cult. And we get to talking, you know, we mess around with that and dabble with that. And, you know, all we're doing is causing division. And that is the reason why people say, I don't go to church, because them church folks. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all still with me? Yeah. All right, let me go on. He says, he gets into verse 11 through 13. He talks about pride and humility. He contrasts the two. He talks about how a rich man, he don't trust in the name of the Lord. He trusts in his money. Mm-hmm. He talks about how that before destruction comes a haughty heart or pride, and before you're honored, you find a person that has humility, that's willing to serve, and people will honor anybody that's willing to serve. Amen. Then he says, you know, when you answer a matter before you hear it, he said it's like folly and a shame will be brought on you. So you know how some people, they don't want to hear what you got to say. They just want to tell you what they got to say. And then before they hear the whole matter, they already rush to judgment, and they mad and they angry. They got all these emotions because they didn't listen. And, you know, just like a child, you got a child that throws a temper tantrum. I don't care what you say. They ain't heard nothing what you said. You can tell them to get up off the floor. They ain't heard it. You can tell them, you can have it. I just bought it for you. You can have it. I just took it for a moment, but you can have it back. They ain't heard nothing. And some of us are just grown toddlers. We're just big people. And we're big people, but in our mind, we still just like a child, because we don't hear what nobody else have to say. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, you know. And we act just like toddlers and throw temper tantrums when we should really stop, think, and listen to what's being said, because when you listen, you'll know how to answer a matter. The Bible even declares that a soft answer turns away wrath. Y'all still with me here? Oh, my God. Oh. So he says in verse 14, I like this now. He says, a spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Guess what he's saying here? He said, if you get hurt physically, because your spirit is strong, you'll overcome. Because greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world, I'm going to heal up. I'm going to be all right. Whatever you arrows from without, whatever you try to do to me, you try to hurt me on the outside, yeah, I'm going to be all right. But then he said, but when you're wounded in spirit, it's a difference there. I may get sick, I may get hurt, and my spirit is strong enough to have faith that I'm going to make it. But what happens when your spirit is wounded? When your spirit is wounded, he said, who can bear it? Who can handle a wounded spirit? And most of the time when we get a person with a wounded spirit, they begin to withdraw themselves. They begin to step back. They begin to say, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. They begin to say that they're soul searching, but in actuality, the devil is steady pushing them back from the ground that they have gained. Amen. Y'all still with me here? They start to say, I don't want to deal with this no more and that no more. And before you know it, they go into a spirit of depression because of the oppression of the devil. Y'all still with me? And if you fall into depression because of the oppression, then Satan is after to make you have some obsession. What does that mean? That means he wants to influence your mind to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do. Then you call that backsliding. Come on and say amen here.